today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday gets me really mad. And I'll explain why towards the end of this message. But I want to go to Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28, says this: after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. Notice this now, verse 30. Go to the village ahead of you, he told his disciples, and you will find a colt there, tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it, bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? Tell him, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had said. As they were untying the colt, his owners asked him, why are you untying my colt? They replied, the Lord needs it. Okay. They brought it to Jesus. They threw their clothes on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As he went along, the people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praising God in a loud voice for all the miracles they have seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. There were some Pharisees in the crowd that said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, had only known on this day that I would bring peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. Now, I want to go here for a second. Verse 44. They will dash you to the ground, you and your children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another. Because you, get this, because you did not, what? Recognize the time of God's coming to you. You did not recognize the time of God coming to you. And Jesus said this, weeping. We think that Palm Sunday was a celebration and a party and people were joyful, yes. But Jesus was very unhappy. Jesus was very angry. And he had sorrow with the people. Today I'm going to talk about the three people, the three types of people on Palm Sunday. The three types of people that were there in front of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this message we're about to receive. Father, as we go into Palm Sunday, I pray that today's message change our lives and transform our thinking of what Palm Sunday really is all about. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 years ago, there was a fishing boat known as the SS Mary Jane. The SS Mary Jane was on its way on a fishing voyage for some crabs off the coast of New England. As the Mary began to take its course 175 miles offshore. The waters were about 180 feet deep only. It was a brand new vessel. To the whole crew, it seemed like it was a safe journey. The crew had 8 people on board that day for that fishing voyage. That voyage was very successful. They had over $24,000 worth of crab alone on their first day. It was one of the greatest fishing days of their lives, as that day would bring over $87,000 in revenue. It was a successful day if you were a fisherman. All of a sudden, the captain was amazed when all power on his boat went out, and he couldn't understand what was happening. And the crew was lost as they couldn't figure out what was going on. As the captain ordered for the crew to check below deck, they quickly realized the smell of smoke. And as they opened the hull and they went down below deck, they were surprised and almost in shock as they saw flames consuming the boat beyond control. and it was evident that the boat would sink. And just like that, their lives were threatened. With no power, there was no way of communication. With no communication, there was no way of rescue. There was no way to call out to the Coast Guard for help. And this captain and crew realized in that moment that this was their day. The captain marked his life as over. And while they were in that ship, this is actual footage of that day. While they were on that ship, praying for a miracle, out of nowhere, they heard the sound of a chopper. And all of a sudden, to their amazement, it was the Coast Guard. And they began to cry out for help. You see, by some miracle that day, there was a pilot by the name of Eric. And Eric Johnson was a pilot for the Coast Guard that something in him said, hey, let's go out for a stroll. They got in the chopper just for a routine fly. I don't know what they were thinking. But just ahead, they saw the smoke. And they knew it was odd to have smoke in the ocean. So they went towards it. And just like that, they found the crew in need of rescuing. And there, Eric got off the control panel, volunteered to hook himself up and go down to the burning vessel. And as he went down to the burning vessel, one by one, he would reach out and grab the people in distress. And one by one, as he reached out, they responded and grabbed onto Eric. And just like that, they were rescued to safety. All of crew were saved that day. And just like that, I was reading this in the paper. The captain says something that I will never forget. They asked him, what was on your mind when you saw that fire? Was it your family? Was it your life? Did you see the light? Did your whole life flash before you? What were you thinking? And he said this profound statement. Do you know what it's like to realize that in just a few seconds or minutes, if lucky, you're about to die? That's what he said. Do you realize that in just a few seconds or minutes, if you're lucky, I'm going to die? That's what he was thinking. What if you knew that in just a few seconds or minutes, if you were lucky, you would die and be faced with judgment? You'd be facing eternity. In just a few moments, you would die. Would you be concerned about the things you're concerned with now? Would your business be in your mind? Would your money, your car, your wardrobe, the things that so easily consume our minds today, would that be the thing on your mind when you knew you're seconds away from death? Chances are you won't be thinking about that. And it frightened me to think that this captain was facing death, and just like that, rescue came. They didn't ask for it. They didn't call out for it. It came to them. And as that jumper reached out to them, they didn't hesitate. They knew this was the moment. I need to grab on now or I am a goner. I cannot imagine the people in that crew saying, wait, maybe next time. Come back later. Maybe when I'm older. Maybe if I get my life straight, then Eric, you can come back to rescue me. No one said, hey, wait a minute. I have $80,000 invested in this. Hey, wait a minute. I just bought this boat. No, I can still save it. No, there was something in that crew that said, none of this matters. I'm going to give all this up because I know that this is the last opportunity I have to get rescued. Palm Sunday was a Sunday that Jesus, like the Coast Guard, was coming in for rescue. He was coming in to proclaim that he was a savior of the world. But the people didn't realize it. The people, like that ship and like that crew, were in crisis. The people were hurting. The people were in agony. They were tired of life. Let me explain to you what Jesus walked into. The Jewish people were oppressed by the Roman government. They were sick and tired of life being so difficult. They were sick and tired of being taxed so high and everything being so expensive and them being so poor. They were sick of the abuse. They were sick of the persecution. They were sick of the Romans just mistreating them for years upon years. And they were waiting for a king to come, a Jewish king that will wage war and cause a revolution to come in and destroy the Roman Empire, to destroy the Roman government and overturn everything for the Jewish people. When the people were crying out for a king, they were crying out for a king in a form of a warrior, not a savior. To them, salvation was this king coming and fixing my problems. But Jesus came in that day, not to fix their earthly problems, but their eternal problem. Jesus came in that day, not to heal or to comfort. He didn't do that. He came in to proclaim that I am the way to heaven. I am your rescue. You need me. But the people didn't realize it. And sadly, in verse 41, Jesus came in and he wept over the people. And he wasn't weeping because they were suffering. He wasn't weeping because they had problems. He was weeping because he said, was thinking to himself, I am literally a few feet away from these people. They're right in front of me. They're so close to me. They're in need of salvation. But all they can think about is their own problems. All they can think about is their earthly life. All they can think about, really, is their taxes, their money problem. Jesus was concerned about their eternal state. Jesus was concerned about if these people die, they're on their way to hell. And all they can think about is their earthly life. Doesn't that sound a lot like us today? Amen. Isn't that where we find ourselves? Where people today, Jesus sees that you're in need of rescue. Jesus sees that you need him. But all we can think about is our lives here on earth. All we think about is our career. All we think about is our education. All we think about is our investments, our homes, our cars, our jobs, our families. Everything in this world will perish. The only thing that will not perish is us. You will live forever. The question is where you would call home. An eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven or lost in hell. Understand that this was what Palm Sunday was all about. Palm Sunday was Jesus concerned for the people's souls. But all they were thinking about was their life. And all Jesus was thinking about was, I'm right in front of them. This is the greatest opportunity of their lives. I'm right there. Right now they can reach out to me. Right now I can save them. Right now. But sadly, they would be so consumed with their life. They would be so focused on themselves that Jesus would walk on by. And they would miss the opportunity. And what I see today is Jesus, the opportunity for you to know him. The opportunity for you to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. And he's passing you by because you're too busy thinking about yourself. You're too busy thinking about your life. The people that day missed it. The people that day had Jesus right in front of them. And they realized that I have no room for him in my life. Many of us want God only to fix our problems and only to give us a good life here on earth and only to bless us here on earth. But Jesus is not about that. Jesus is all about your eternal soul. Many people today are missing the opportunity because they're so consumed with a world that perishes. And it's so sad to me that, like that boat, maybe you're in need. Maybe you're in crisis. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, my goodness, what would happen to me if I would die right now? Where would I spend eternity? Do you realize when that captain held on to Eric, there was no thought of his boat. He didn't think about the money he was losing. He didn't think about any of that. Because none of it mattered when you're facing death. I have had the opportunity as a pastor to see people perish on their deathbed in hospitals. I have yet to see a person last word uttered, my bank account. I'm about to die. Hey, call Chase before I leave. Call Bank of America. Make sure that this is fixed. This is done. I never, ever heard anyone saying my house, my mortgage, this or that. Because none of that matters when you're about to die. And Jesus would weep over you right now if he would see your life right now and see that all you think about is this earth. And you never think about your eternity. Palm Sunday was miserable for Jesus, and it should be miserable for us. Because it is a reminder that we have been so consumed with ourselves and we are just thinking about ourselves and our earthly life that we forget what Jesus was coming for any in the first place. And I wonder today if someone here is missing the opportunity. And sadly, the people would reject him. The people, days later, would realize that this is not the king we wanted. He's not doing it the way we want. He's not the savior. And they would reject him. And I started thinking about this. Those people had Jesus right in front of him. And they just rejected him. And I started thinking that right now, every one of those people, they're all dead now. And I wonder how many of them died only to face judgment and only to realize that Jesus was what they needed. He was the Savior. Can you imagine the people in this crowd in hell right now that said, I was so busy and I was so concerned about this world and all my things that I forgot about Jesus? Can you imagine those people on that Palm Sunday that said, he was right in front of me. He was so close to me and I rejected him. Every church service you go to, every friend that talks to you about the Lord, is an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And my prayer is that you don't die and then realize that you needed Jesus. But while the opportunity is there, You realize it now. Don't die and then find out that that pastor was right, that my friend was right. Don't die knowing that the opportunity was so close to you. It was right there. And you went fishing instead, or you went to the beach instead, or you went who knows where, or you were consumed with what, and you were thinking only about this. Don't let the opportunity pass you by like the people on Palm Sunday. They passed the greatest opportunity of their lives because they wanted someone that would make their earthly life good. And the people realized that day that the rescue was right there and they missed it. Those people would deny Jesus only to go find something else to save them from their problems. And maybe that's you today. There's no doubt in my mind that in this church today or listening to me online, you're like that vessel. Your life is out of control. Things are bad. I may not understand what you're going through. And I may not know. But one thing I do know is that we all suffer. We all struggle. We all have problems. You are not the only one. And I say this to tell you that many of us find the wrong rescue for our problems. For many people, it is money that rescues them for their problems. And I'm sure that here today, saying, yeah, if I had more of it, I wouldn't be in this mess. You can be the richest person in the world, and guess what? You're going to have problems anyway. For some people, money is the answer. And money may relieve the problem, but it will not save your soul, and it will not help you. For other people that I find today, a common rescue effort is drugs or alcohol, an addiction, some escape from their problems. And that may help you and that may relieve you for just a moment. But I've never seen any drug or any bottle save a person from their problems. It only adds to their mess. We find rescue in the wrong things. We think a certain person is going to help us. Well, if I had that husband, I would be rescued. If I had that wife, if I had that job, that career, if I had this, then all my problems would be solved. Listen to me. If it's not Jesus, your problems will never be solved. Amen? If it's not Jesus that you're calling on, you will always have a struggle, both now here on earth and in eternity. And I want to tell you something that I never want you to forget. You think you have problems now? The biggest, greatest, most severe problem that you will ever experience is rejecting Christ and dying without Him. It's dying without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're going to know what problems are when you die and face eternity in hell. It will make any problem you're facing now seem like a vacation. Do not let that opportunity pass you by. Palm Sunday is a tragic story of people that had Jesus right in front of them, but their minds were elsewhere. Palm Sunday was a tragic story because the people were trying to find rescue. And it was right in front of them, but they went to something else. I wonder what it is in your life that you think you need besides Jesus. Many people are searching for peace and joy because those people were, and they missed it. I was thinking about something the other day. You ever had a toothache? Anyone ever had a toothache before? Yeah? Isn't that like hell on earth, toothache? Yeah, it's terrible. And why is it that toothaches happen only at night when the dentist is closed? You ever wonder that? It's the weirdest thing ever. But anyway, remember, one of the things I have, when I get an occasional toothache once in a while, and I remember having this toothache, and the dentist was closed. And I ran to Walgreens, and God bless Orajel. Amen for Orajel? Yeah? You know that Orajel is a lie, though. because I applied it to where it hurt. And it numbed the pain. Moments after, the pain was there again. And I went to that Orajel bottle again, and I applied it. And moments after, and on again, I would apply where it hurt, but the pain would come back. Many people are living like that. You're in pain. You're hurting. You're struggling. Life is hard. And you're running to the wrong thing to relieve your pain. If I run to this relationship, it would relieve my hurt. But then there you go again. Why can't I find satisfaction? You run to that drug, that needle. You run to that bottle. You run to that website. You run. And it relieves you for a little bit. But then the pain comes back. Orajel is a lie. And it says so in the bottle. You know, the bottle actually says this is not a solution for your tooth. It tells you. And it says, seek a dentist. I love Orajel because it doesn't hurt to put it on, right? But it never helped. I hate the dentist. Because I know, number one, it's very expensive. It's going to cost me a lot. Number two is very painful. She's going to poke and inject and drill, and just the noise alone is torture. But I step in knowing it's going to cost a lot and it's going to hurt. But that dentist comes in and goes directly to the source of the pain. And though it hurts for that while and now it's painful, in the end, the pain is gone. And the relief is permanent. Do you understand that when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't need Orajel anymore. You don't need that drug. You don't need that person. You don't need that habit. You don't need any of that. Jesus is permanent relief for your soul. Amen. But it will cost you a lot. Being a Christian is not easy. You're going to get drilled and poked, and it's going to hurt while you're on earth as a Christian. I am a pastor. I am a son. I am a brother. The most important thing in my life that I am is a Christian. I am a Christ follower. And I gave my life to Jesus Christ. My life has never been the same again. But my life has not been easier. And because of the God that I serve, I have struggled and lost many things. And I have suffered. Because I'm in the dentist chair. But there's one thing I realize. When I die, I'm going to be with Him in paradise. I'm going to be with Him in heaven. And I will never experience the feeling of pain again. Because I accepted the dentist. And His name is Jesus Christ. There are people dying with Orajel. There are people dying thinking that this is going to help them. This, if I had this, if I had that. And it may relieve you for a little bit. But you know that the pain is still there. Do you know Him? Do you have Him in your life? Have you truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? I'm going to heaven. I don't know about you. And I won't miss you. I won't feel sorry for you when I'm there. Because I've given so many messages as a pastor. My job is to make sure you're ready. But when that train comes, I'm not going to look for you. Because you had the opportunity, like I did. What's your excuse not to know Jesus? Is the orgy really helping you? Is the pain still there? Because God is letting you know you need me. Revelations 21, 1 through 6 is a promise that God gives us. Then I saw a new heaven. I saw a new earth. For the first heaven, the first earth, that's us now, had what? Passed away. Everything on this earth passes away. There was no longer sea. That part breaks my heart. I love the oceans. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, come down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful dress for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. How many of you have shed some tears in this time on earth? We all have. Do you realize that God himself would come and wipe every tear from your eye? Every pain that you've experienced, he will take away. Every person that has hurt you, that has rejected you, everything that you have suffered that has caused one teardrop to come out of your eye, he said, I will wipe that for you. Because now you're my child. And notice this. There will be no more what? Death. Or mourning. No more crying. No more pain. Can you imagine that you forget what pain felt like? That you will no longer cry. You will no longer worry. You will no longer have fear. You will forget everything that this earth gives you. Anxiety. Torment. Tears. You're like, what is that? I don't know because I'm a Christian. Why wouldn't you want that? Why would you continue to reject Christ and continue to be in pain and mourn forever? And the opportunity is right there. But you're too busy thinking about the earth that will pass away. And the people on Palm Sunday missed it. Because they were too busy thinking about the earth that was going to pass away. And Jesus wept in sorrow because he says they don't get it. They're right in front of me. And they're rejecting me. And every church service, he's right in front of you. But you leave and you reject him. Every time your wife invites you to church and talks to you, he's in front of you, but you reject him. That friend invites you and talks to you, but he's in front of you, and you reject him. Every time you listen to that Christian broadcast, you're online right now, and you don't know why you're in my website. Hello? Because he's in front of you, and it's your invitation. But you're going to reject him. And you will remember the day you reject him. Because it will be the worst mistake of your life. That's why to me Palm Sunday is so sad. Because Jesus was right in front of them. He said it right there in the last verse. I have come to them, but they didn't recognize. The reason they were so blinded and they've not recognized Jesus as a Savior because they had the wrong motive. Don't let another opportunity pass you by. There were three types of people that day on Palm Sunday. Number one, I call them the palm wavers. The reason it's called Palm Sunday is because on that day, they would do this when a king would enter their city. They would lay down their cloak, their cloth. They would lay down there. Actually, some records record that they would give away so much, they would just lay everything on the floor for that king. And the palm was a symbol of victory. And they were praising Jesus and they were waving the palm. But just days later, they rejected him. I wonder if you're a palm waver. A palm waver is one person that's great at hollering, that's great at worship, that's great at singing, that's great, and you only go to God when you need Him. Because they were waving the palms because they needed help. And on that one day, they sang and they danced and they waved the palms. But then Monday came and they were like, oh, Jesus, who? And they rejected Him. And there's a lot of palm wavers. Oh, it's Sunday morning. Let me go grab my palm leaf. Let me go shake a few palms. And let me go sing a little and go to church. But now it's Monday and it's almost like I never knew you, Jesus. I'm rejecting you now. This Easter service, this church will be packed with palm wavers. They will come to praise. They will come to sing. But then 51 weeks of the year, they will reject Him and never come back. Don't let God be something that you just shake a little and deny the rest of the days. God is not looking for this. He's not looking for you to come on Sunday and sing a little and dance a little and read and listen to a sermon and shake your little palm, and then Monday you're back into the pornography, you're back into the adultery, you're back to the sinful lifestyle, and you reject Him. Are you a palm waver? The palm wavers were great at being loud, but they died without Jesus and they're in hell now. Person number two, that Palm Sunday, the Bible records, were the Pharisees, the religious people. Oh, these were nice looking people. They had robes that showed the people, I'm religious. I go to temple every Sunday. I worship God. I know the law. And the people were so amazed at these Pharisees, because they looked the part and they acted the part. But do you realize that they never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? There is a lot of religious people out there that don't know Jesus. Religion will send you to hell. Religion will not save you. Do you understand that? Those Pharisees thought that they had a shot in heaven. They were the first ones in the row, because they said, I'm good. I'm this and I do that and I do this and I go here and I've learned this and I memorize that, and this is why I'm going to heaven. But let me scare you for a little. Ephesians 2:8-9. For it is by grace you have been what? Saved. Through faith. Through what? Faith. And this is not from yourself. It is a gift from God. Not by what? Works. It is not by works so that no one can boast. If you're here and you're working your way into heaven, guess what? Read this, memorize it, because you're on your way to hell. And you realize that you will not work your way into heaven. There is nothing you can do to earn it. And those Pharisees were trying to work their hardest, and they were being so religious, and they were checking in all their checklists, and yes, I go to church and I read my Bible and I'm a good person, and Jesus was right in front of them and they missed it, because it was through faith, not works. So you had the palm shakers and the religious people, and right in front of them was Jesus Christ, but they didn't recognize Him. There are good people, genuine good people, dying without Christ. And if you're here today, and you really say, I'm going to heaven because, and that answer is not, I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, you better reevaluate your reason. And person number three, the third person that was in that crowd, were known as Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples were bad people. They were not the holiest. Some were liars and thieves, tax collectors that robbed people and cheated in their life. Peter, for instance, had an attitude problem. He would stab a person for Jesus. But on that day, these disciples, had the opportunity to follow Jesus. And those disciples, though they weren't perfect, though they made mistakes and failed, they didn't try to be religious. They didn't try and shake palms. They simply said, "Jesus, I'll follow you. I'll give everything up for you." And on that day, the disciples were the only people that truly recognized Jesus as the Lord and Savior. You might be here today, you've made mistakes. And you might have failed in your past. But He loves you. And He died for your sins. And He gives you the opportunity to follow Him. I pray that you lose the palm tree in your life. Don't be a palm shaker anymore. Don't just come to church and make some noise and then come back to your old lifestyle. And don't be a Pharisee. Don't think that it's all about religion. And if I do this and light this candle and pray this prayer and do this and bow this way and do that, why are you so complicated? Lose the religion and get into a relationship. It will change your life. Amen. Jesus didn't die for you to have a perfect attendance in church and know your Bible. No, He didn't die for that. He died genuinely because you needed to be rescued. Because all of us were sinners in need of a Savior. And He offered, "Will you accept?" That's it. That's my Palm Sunday message. With every head bowed today and every eye closed. Just like that day on Palm Sunday, Jesus is right in front of you. You don't know if this is your last opportunity. You don't know when you're going to go. But you're going. Are you ready? Are you ready for the journey you're about to face? Because your life does not begin on earth, but it begins when you die. Your real life begins in eternity. Are you ready for that? I wonder here this morning if you're a palm shaker. You just come during the Easter or Palm Sunday service. Or you come when you need Him and you shake a few things thinking that your life will be easier. But you know you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. You might be very religious here today. You might think you're real good, and there's no doubting you're good. You're a good person. I don't deny that. That won't save you. Real religious. You can brag about your attendance. You can quote scriptures and you can dress nice. That's not going to work. Lose the religion and lose the palm. And I wonder if there's some disciples here. You're not perfect. You've made mistakes. You've failed, but you wonder why Jesus wants you. Why He still loves you. He does. And He's calling you to a relationship with Him. And I feel in my spirit to tell you, not just to lose a palm, but don't just lose the religion. But in Jesus' name, some of us have to lose the origel. The things in your life that are not helping you, that you think will relieve your pain. The truth is that only Jesus Christ can relieve that pain you feel. Are you ready? This is your opportunity now. If you're here this morning, you're in need of rescue. If you're here this morning and you even had the slightest doubt that you're not sure, don't die doubting. Be sure today, on this Palm Sunday, that you will be like the disciples who truly had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And don't let this opportunity pass you by. Right where you're at, if this is you and you know that you need Jesus Christ now, you slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, that's me. I know without a doubt. God bless you up there. God bless you and you and you. God bless you too as well up there across the room today. And you as well. Amen." You guys can put your hand down where you're at. As we worship, would invite all those who raise their hands to come forward. Me and my evangelism director and others will pray with you. But don't let an opportunity pass you by. Give him a round. Look at that. I didn't even. That's awesome. Stand to your feet where you're at as we worship. You come forward. We give God some praise this morning for the people that surrender. I hope I didn't ruin your Palm Sunday. It's a nice day too, but I pray now that you lose the palm and lose the religion and get into a relationship with Jesus. Let's give a round of applause to those who humbly surrendered their life. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this service. Thank you, Lord, that we can simply just come to you as we are, broken and with mistakes and failures, Lord, and you still humbly receive us, Lord. Father, I pray that this opportunity never pass us by, Lord, that we reach out to our lost friends and family, Lord, because that time is coming and time is being ticked away, Lord. Father, help us to be vessels of rescue. And I pray, Lord, for this next coming service on Sunday, Lord, as this church will be full of palm shakers, Lord, that in Jesus' name you will cut the palm out of their hands and they get into a relationship with you. I pray this in your name. Amen.